Thanks for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yong Kun, and the title of my talk is HP Mapper, High Performance Storage Driver for Docker Container. This is the outline of my talk. I will first introduce the background of a Docker Container and analyze the trade-off of existing storage drivers. Then I will present our HP Mapper design. After that, I will show the evaluation results and conclude this talk. Compared with the virtual machine Docker, container is a process level virtualization technique, and different containers can share the host kernel, so it's much more lightweight than virtual machine, and it also has lower resource usage and better performance. And Docker is the most popular container engine, and it's widely used in production. So for containers, one key concept is the image. Actually, image stored all the requirements for running the container, and all the images are organized in a hierarchical way with multiple layers. Just showing this figure, the lower layers are read-only, so they can be shared between different containers. And the uppermost one is a writable layer. So if a container wants to update data, it has to use copy and write by first copying data from a lower layer to the writable layer and then perform the update. So to manage these images, there must be a storage driver. And there are two kinds of storage drivers. The one is a file-based driver. And for this kind of storage driver, they put all the images to a single mount point. So they print a unified file system view to all the containers. The benefit is that all the containers can share page cache. But the copy and write operation must be performed at the file level, which means that if you want to update data, you must copy the whole file from the lower level to the writable layer, as shown in the left figure. The other kind is block-based, and this kind of driver can perform copy and write at the block level, which is usually much smaller than a file. However, for these storage drivers, manage these images as a logical value, which means that each container have an individual file system and page cache, so they cannot share the page cache. For example, if they want to access a block, they use a different virtual block as shown in the right figure. And most efficient file-based storage driver is overlay 2, and the most efficient and stable block-based driver is device mapper. So in our experiment, we mainly compare with these two kinds of storage drivers. In the next, I will analyze the design trade-offs of these two kinds of storage drivers. First, it's very straightforward to know that file-based storage driver must incur large copy and write overhead because they need to copy the whole file to the writable layer. To demonstrate this, we also run experiments. For example, as shown in this table, device mapper and BTFS are both block-based, but BTFS always use a much smaller block size, and we can skip it in this table. We mainly focus on device mapper and overlay 2. We can see that as the file size increases, the copy and write latency of overlay 2 is much, much bigger than that of a device mapper because they need to copy the whole file. And because BTFS use a much smaller block size than device mapper, so its copy and write latency is the smallest between among these three device storage drivers. Second, we can also find that block-based storage driver introduce many redundant I/O because they cannot share page cache. So even if you access the same physical block, you may use a different I/O to read the data from disk. So in memory, they may have multiple copies. And similarly, we also show the total amount of reading data during the startup of launching 64 containers from the same image. We can see that the rightmost one is file-based, which is overlay 2. It only needs to read a very small amount of data. But for block-based drivers, like device mapper and the BTFS, they need to read much more data than that of overlay 2. So this is because they generate a lot of redundant I/O. Finally, we can also say that both kinds of storage drivers may generate a lot of redundant data in cache, but the reasons are different. For block-based storage driver, because they have different redundant I/O, so they may read multiple copies of the same block in cache, so it's straightforward to have redundant data in cache. But for file-based, even if they can share the page cache, they need to read the whole file in memory, which means that the unchanged part of this file are also read into the cache. So the cache also contains a lot of redundant data. As shown in this figure, we can see that actually most of the data in cache are duplicate. So this result can also imply that we may have a larger room to further improve the cache management. So based on this trade-off and the limitations of existing storage drivers, our goal is to try to develop a new storage driver so that we can meet the upside of both kinds of storage drivers. For example, we want to have a low copy and write overhead so that we can have a high write performance. And we also want to have high read I/O performance and high cache efficiency. So next, I will show the design of our HP mapper. Actually, the first goal is to try to reduce the copy and write overhead. So HP mapper also works at the block level so that we do not need to read a lot of data, for example, the whole file. And based on this design, we want to remove the redundant I/O and the redundant data in cache, so HP mapper directly manages the physical blocks. To achieve this goal or realize this idea, we first need to maintain an address mapping between virtual block to physical block, and this is responsible by the address mapper module. And HP mapper also needs other two modules to detect the redundant I/O and manage cache. So I will first introduce the address mapper module. Actually, even if we use block-based design, here trade-off still exists. For example, if you use large blocks, then the copy and write latency may still be high. But if you use very small blocks, you may need a lot of larger amount of metadata. This means that the lookup overhead and storage cost will be high. So to balance this trade-off, HP mapper uses a two-level mapping tree to support two different kinds of block size. And it also differentiates different requests by using on-demand allocation. For example, for new write, which writes the images, then we can allocate a large block for this request so as to benefit from large sequential I/O. But for copy and write requests, we can allocate blocks based on the request size. If the size is smaller, then we should allocate a small block so as to reduce the copy and write overhead. And this two-level mapping tree is organized as shown in this figure. Actually, we divide the virtual block number into three parts. We first use the first part to index the first level tree until we reach the leaf node. And then we use the higher bit of this value stored in the leaf node to differentiate whether this is the physical block number or is just the root of the second level tree. And if this value indicates that this is just the root of the second level tree, then we use the second part to index the second level tree until we found a leaf node to get the physical block number. And the last part is just an offset. And we also consider storage efficiency by separately storing large blocks and small blocks. And we also consider about fragmentation because we have two different kinds of block sizes here. And second, after we have the physical block, we can detect the redundant I/O. And actually here what we need to do is to create an index based on physical block number. And we use a hash table to manage this index. And this hash value is computed from the physical block number. But we use a two-dimensional list to organize all the copies of these blocks. And the first list links all hidden entries. And each hidden entry may correspond to a different physical block. And then the vertical list actually stores other copies of the physical block, because every physical block may have multiple copies in the memory. They may be read by different containers. So we use a two-dimensional list to manage all the copies of all physical blocks. And in each entry, we may need to record some file system information, such as super block, number of copies, and ALOAD ID, so that we can quickly find out the data. And based on this hash table, we can detect the redundant I/O. And the workflow is as follows. We first use the address mapper, which is the two-level mapping tree, to get the physical block. Then we need, the key point is we need to check whether this block is shareable or not. This is try to avoid a lot of unnecessary check. For example, the write IOs, which are directed to the writable layer, these IOs cannot be, this data cannot be shared, so this IO must be non-redundant, so we do not need to check the hash table. And for other IOs, we need to check the hash table we just generated, and if this data is not updated or modified, which means that it's up to date, then we can just copy from the page cache of other container instead of using an I/O to read from disk. And finally, for cache manager, and the goal is try to remove redundant copies or try to explicitly control how many copies of each physical block we can have in the memory. And so we periodically scan the hash table to locate or cache the pages. And we also maintain the hotness information. Here, the key point is that we may have a trade-off between cache hit ratio and cache usage. The understanding is like this. If we allow each physical block to have more copy, then we can increase the cache hit ratio because different container, when different container try to access the block, they can read from its own page cache. Otherwise, however, if we allow more copies of each block, then we must incur a lot of memory usage or cache usage. So we limit the maximum number of copies, and we also dynamically adjust this number based on the memory utilization. For example, if the memory utilization is very low, then we allow each physical block to have more copy. And we also control this by using a hotness aware eviction policy, which means that we try to first evict out cold copies, or then we evict out hot copies which are not recently accessed. Next, I will show the evaluation results. We implement HMapper to act as a plugin module in Linux kernel, and the backend file system is set as XT4. And we consider three different container images. And we first show the overhead of HMapper. Actually, the overhead mainly comes from the mapping tree and the hash table, the two indexes. We can see that the memory overhead is only tens of megabytes, actually is acceptable. And the CPU overhead and the lookup overhead is also, are also low. And as I just said, our HMapper tried to achieve low copy and write latency and high I/O efficiency and cache efficiency. So I will show this, the results of these three metrics. First, for copy and write latency, we compare HMapper with Overlay 2, which is file-based. We can see that it reduces more than 90%. Actually, the copy and write overhead of HMapper is much, much smaller than that of Overlay 2. And even compared with device mapper, HMapper is still smaller. This is because device mapper always use a large block size, for example, 64 kilobytes. But HMapper uses a finer grained management. And the BTRF is always use a very small, for example, 4 kilobytes block size. So the copy and write is the smallest. And second, for the redundant I/O, and we also show the total amount of reading and writing data during the process of launching 64 containers. We can see that, as shown in the left figure, HMapper almost removes all redundant I/O because the total amount of reading data is similar to that of Overlay 2, which is file-based. And besides, HMapper also reduces more than 50% of writing data on average. This is because HMapper first uses finer-grained block management, and it also reduces unnecessary copy and write operations. So the writing data are also reduced. For cache efficiency, we can see that HMapper can reduce more than 65% of cache usage. This is because we explicitly control the maximum number of copies that can be used in memory, and we remove all the redundant data in page cache. Finally, we also show the startup time, and we test, we run the experiments on both SSD and hard disk. We can see that HPMapper on average can achieve up to more than 2 times of startup speed than the other storage drivers, because both file-based or block-based, either file-based or block-based, they may have a trade-off, either high copy and write overhead or large amount of redundant I/O and redundant data. So HPMapper balances addresses this trade-off so that it can speed up the startup. And in the memory scarce case, the improvement is much bigger, and this actually is really intuitive or straightforward, because HPMapper reduces the memory usage. So if the memory capacity is limited, then it must have a higher performance. Finally, to conclude this talk, we found that trade-off exists for docker storage drivers. And we develop a new storage driver, which is HPMapper, and it tries to meet the upside of both kinds of existing drivers. And HPMapper can have low copy and write overhead and high IO efficiency and cache efficiency. Thank you very much. I'm going to take any questions.
Let's thank the speaker. Questions?
Hi, my name is Jan. I work at SAP. So this looks very promising. So congrats. But during your presentation, you said you tested this on Linux kernel 3.10, which is not really up to date. So do you have any idea of how those results compare to results with a more current Linux kernel version? Because there might have been some improvements there as well.
Okay. Actually, we also get some comments from other people. Here we consider Docker containers, and we compared with the device mapper. Actually, device mapper now is not maintained by Docker, right? So our understanding is that the main reason is that overlay 2, if you only want to launch one container, for example, then overlay 2 actually has higher performance than device mapper, which means that Firebase is preferable. Yeah, but if you want to launch a lot of container, especially IO intensive, then block based is I think is better. So even if we didn't test the up to date version, I think block based should have a benefit in this case.
Specifically, I'd be interested in knowing how
performance
compares with BTRMS on the latest one.
I think now the state of the art is overlay 2. Yeah. This is maintained by Docker. Yeah.
More questions? Okay, I have one question. So you mentioned like you can do this thing on like at the block level, right? So increasingly there are also file formats, for example, like things like say Parquet, right? We only access few columns in the block. Can you also handle those like fine-grained cases as well? Or do you extend this, or like can you extend this work to also look at like file formats and go inside and do only basically like at the column level basically?
Can you speak the?
Can you like extend this work to also, for example, do copy and write at the column level? So we have these new file formats like say Parquet, where you can only access the required columns, right?
You mean still use Firebase, but may have a smaller file size, right? For example, 8 kilobytes. I think that if the file size, if you can limit the file size to a smaller size, I think you can the Firebase is. Actually, it is better than block-based in this case, because we can easily share the page cache. For block-based, the different container has its own page cache. It's harder to share. Even in our HPMapper, we actually, even if we identify the redundant IO, we still need to copy the data from the page cache of other container. So there is an overhead of memory copy, and also need more memory. Yeah. So if the file size is, for example, 8 kilobytes, I think we should try Firebase. Yeah.
Thanks. Any other questions? We have time for one more question while the next speaker can come and please set it up.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no, then let's thank the speaker again.